adoption. So, everybody, hey, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Then everybody is careful, oh, no, how you talk, how you walk, where you go, who you associate with. You are losing your sanctification. You don't shout in Jesus' name. And then you are very, very careful so that you will not lose your salvation. Then, when you reach that stage, God does not want you to fear. Then he tells you your origin by the doctrine of redemption, that he came to redeem his own. What is redeem? Redeem is what was originally yours. Take note, originally yours, but you lost it to some slave. Slavery. Went into slavery. The process of buying it back is called redemption. You can only redeem what originally was yours. We are already his own. Oh, glory be to God. Then the confidence comes back more. Oh, now my papa be this. Nobody say he adopted me. Nobody say I was an orphan somewhere then. A very kind man came and picked me up. Oh, now he born myself. Oh, you know, the day you discover that you'll be more relaxed in that house. That the period that you begin to look for your father's property so that when the man die, you go know which one will be your own. Because you are not a stranger, you are not a slave. I'm a son. I was his originally. So, then how, hallelujah, does this come about? Let's open Romans chapter 8. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, these are key words we have here. What we're trying to look at is eternal security. We're going further now to look at eternal security. That once you are saved, forever you are saved. And this is where we get that security from. Listen to this, verse 28, 29, and 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, those he has called according to his purpose. He calls us according to his purpose. I'm taking it gradually. Somebody told me that I should not preach, I should teach today. Somebody sent me a message. He said, please, I understand you better when you are teaching than when you are preaching. I said, okay, which one be teaching, which one be preaching, you go tell me. So, okay, I will teach today. He said, he's trying to make you understand those he called, verse 29, for whom he did foreknowledge, knowledge in advance. He also did predestinate. I know you know this scripture, but let's dissect it again. I repeat, verse 29. For whom he did foreknowledge, something he knew in advance. Something he knew in advance concerning you. Before you were born, before your great-grandfather was born, he knew you. Am I correct? He knew you. For whom he did foreknowledge, foreknow. He also predestinate. Because he knew you in advance, your destiny, how you will end up, was also determined before you began. I don't know if I'm saying something that somebody will know. I say I'm teaching, you know, I'm a teacher now. Teacher Moses. I repeat. For whom he did foreknow, know you in advance, he also did predestinate. What is the destiny? To be conformed to the image of his son. That he, Jesus Christ now, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Here, he's talking about inheritance. If Jesus is the firstborn, then he's my elder brother. What belonged to him belonged to me too, from the Father. You see, another stage of the revelation now, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ of an inheritance. Then verse 30. Moreover, he's going deeper for you to understand those that he called. Because he does not just call like that by gamble. Whom he did predestinate. Only those whose destiny have been determined in advance because of a foreknowledge, something he knew concerning you in advance, them he also called. So he is not calling anybody to see whether, let me see whether you will disappoint me or not. Before he call you, there is something he has considered concerning you before calling you. You see, now revelation is going deeper and deeper. Therefore, if God has called you, amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, let me finish that verse. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So he will not gamble and give somebody eternal life and regret it. Eternal life is a life that has no ending. So God will not give you a life that you will live forever. And then you cannot be converted. You don't have ability to be converted. That is the reason why, quickly, before they will go and partake of the tree of life, he took it away from the Garden of Eden because death was already in them. Hallelujah. Because once you eat of the tree of life, he cannot change his mind again. So he will not gamble to give you eternal life. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So he chose us in Christ. When did he choose you? Was it the day you gave your life to Christ? Where do we prove that? Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 1. We are doing Bible study. See the language. Verse 3. Let me read it down so that somebody here, you will understand this mystery, this great opportunity that God has given us, we the believers. From verse 3, blessed, this Apostle Paul now, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are in Christ. According as he has chosen us in him, because we read where he said that we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now he's saying, according as he has chosen us in him, when? Oh, are you reading with me? When? When did he choose us in Christ? Before the foundation of the world. He did not choose you the day you gave your life to Christ. Oh, open your ears and hear me. He did not choose you the day you gave your life to Christ. He chose you. Oh, glory be to God. Before the world, before this world, the foundation of this world began, he has already chosen us in him. See what he has done. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. See, have predestinated. Our destiny was determined before we are born, before this earth began. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. According, that is where I am going. Is it because you work hard for it? According to the good pleasure of his will. Not because you worked hard for it. It is according to the good pleasure of his will. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and we are created. Verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace. His grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. In whom, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. I have told you the meaning of redeem. In whom we have redemption through his blood that was used as a ransom to pay the price for our salvation, our redemption. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. According, I am emphasizing something that will make you think. Some of you already read it now. I want you to get the impact of the weight of this revelation, these statements Apostle Paul is making. Wherein he has abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. This will, is there is something mysterious about it. The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself. He does not take counsel with anybody. He does not have meeting with anybody to do whatever he wants to do. What was it that he counseled himself? The next verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he decided he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. To do what? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that you have heard the word of truth. You trusted after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, after you believed, you were sealed. Oh, what is the meaning of seal? A seal means the work is finished. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And he added, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you will understand what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. That was Apostle Paul. Now, the same revelation Peter also had. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 2. Just one statement there, the way he put it there. He says, elect is addressing us. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. We are elected. Election there is the calling. We are elect according to what? The foreknowledge. Apostle Paul got that revelation Not from a meeting he had with Peter. But the same Holy Ghost. The mystery of salvation. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then you begin also to understand, if you were not saved the day you gave your life to Christ, then if you were saved, caught from the foundation of the world, then Christ himself too died from the foundation of the world. That is exactly what you must know, because, hallelujah, the call was in him, Jesus. As far as God is concerned, he has concluded everything already. What you are seeing happening now is just God now playing. The script has been written. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Filmmakers, there must be a script before you bring the actors to act the script. The actors acting the scripts, they are not the writers of the script. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The actors are popular, but the script writers, they are the directors. Nobody sees the director of a film. You only see the characters. God is the script writer. And we are the actors acting the script that has already been written. All glory be to God. Hallelujah. Then you understand in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Concerning the beast, he says, and all that dwell upon the earth, chapter 13, verse 8. Hear that statement. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship that beast, shall worship him. See them. Whose names are not written in the book of life. Of who? Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Who is the Lamb that has been slain? We all know it's Jesus Christ. According to this scripture, when was he slain? From the foundation of the world, not in 1833. He was not slain in 1833, or as far as God is concerned. The script was written from the foundation of the world. And the actor acted it in AD 33. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Then, if he was, you were chosen from the foundation of the, before the foundation of the world, Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, then we have the book of life. In chapter 17, Revelation chapter 17, also in verse 8, this is the way he put it. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wander. See those who we wander now? Whose names we are not written in the book of life. From when? The foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. That book, when was it written? From the foundation of the world. Because all that we saved will be saved have long before won, for known, I mean to say, for known by God himself. And their names are written down. And they are the ones he came for. Hey. They are the only ones that will be saved. Whose names are written in the book of life. The problem is, how to identify them? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in writing this script, glory be to God, he finished writing the script. Hallelujah. Those of you who watch film, I think there's something they call backstage or something like that. And then, or there is something they call... there is one they do. Is it a pre-something? Preview. Eh? I think they call it pre-something. Preview. They will bring it. But that's not the real one yet. They put the real one just to whet your appetite for the real one that is coming. It is called a preview. And even apart from the preview, there is also the backstage. Things that happen at the backstage that finally bring the total picture for us to watch. The gospel according to Nollywood. Even in Hollywood, you see salvation. In Hollywood, you see salvation. In Bollywood, you see salvation. Funny, funny names. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You see it there. We have the law. God was about to activate what he had written down. Then he began. He picked one man. Abraham. For a preview, known as the law. Hallelujah. Known as the law. And that culminated into producing Moses. And we all know that Moses is a type of Christ. We also know that Abraham is a type of God, the Father. Everything there is a preview. Hallelujah. Everything in the Old Testament is a preview of the real thing that we are enjoying now. And even from the Garden of Eden, it was still a preview. Hallelujah. If you don't see Christ and his church there, you will miss the story. When you look at Abraham, Abraham is the type of God the Father that has a son of promise, Isaac, that must get a wife. And he sent Eliezer, a type of the seven stars in the right hand. Hallelujah. Of God. To go and pick a wife for his son. Isaac. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We must understand that. So he picked, here you see, all the types on and on and on like that. And then, he gave them laws and ordinances and ceremonies they had to observe. And each of those ceremonies had something to do with Christ. So we see Christ came down in the running of that agenda, in the playing of that script that God has written. He came in the volume of books written of him. He came as it was written of him, but they could not understand, being too carnal. But nothing can stop the agenda of God. Even their rejection was part of the script. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Even their rejection was part of the script. You have to understand that so that you know the role that Judas played was part of the script. Hallelujah. And I'm not here to talk about Judas. Every one of us sitting down here, if we are to judge, we are worse than Judas. So I'm talking about you. With Judas later on as an example of you. So that if you condemn Judas, you must condemn yourself too. So that if you say you are called unto adoption, full authority and power, Judas too is called. So it's not about Judas, it's about you and me. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. It's one thing to know these things, it's another to know how to teach somebody. I pray that God will cause me to say it in a way that you will understand. Because me, I understand it. But now, to make you understand is another matter. But whether you understand it or not, it's not a thing for argument. If you're already a Christian, homebound, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm only trying to help you more. That's all. So nothing to argue about. Now, verse 17, chapter 5. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. The law or the prophets. All that the prophets prophesied and all the ceremonial laws. He said, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all, every ceremony there be fulfilled. Take note of that. All the ceremonial laws and all the prophecies, and particularly for this season that we are in now, there was the ceremony of the Passover. I spoke during the vigil. The Passover, they were passing over from Egypt to the promised land. I'm not going to waste too much time on that because we know it. A lamb had to be sacrificed. And the blood had to be applied in the doorposts and the lintels. The angel of death will be passing through the land. Only one, the house that blood is applied, will the firstborn in that family be saved. You have to understand this language that Apostle Paul and the rest use in the New Testament. When we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, Apostle Paul referred 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 to Christ as our Passover. The Passover lamb, the angel of death, will also soon be coming upon this world. But there is a blood of a lamb that shall be slain and applied. This time, not in physical houses, but the doorposts of your heart, applying the blood. And that is another sermon entirely, the meaning of applying the blood. Applying the blood there takes you back to the life that is in the blood of Jesus Christ, which is eternal life. The life applied there is receiving the Holy Ghost that transforms a sinner to a saint. And he is the Passover lamb. He fulfilled it. In Leviticus chapter 16, if you read it from verse 3 up to verse 10, I give you these scriptures so that you read them on your own. We have something, a ceremony that was on there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. Okay, let's read it. Let's read it. Leviticus. Just pray somebody will catch it. Let's read it. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 3. See the law. Let me read it just up to verse 10. Thus shall Aaron. Remember, I'm trying to explain that Jesus Christ came to fulfill these ceremonies. Fulfill these ceremonial laws. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be guided with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. Making how many goats there? 3. There are 3 of them there. Verse 6. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of sin offering, which is for himself. One of those 3 goats there, 1 is for Aaron himself, the high priest, to wash himself first. He will wash himself first and make an atonement for himself and for his house. Verse 7. And he shall take now the remaining two now that he received them from the congregation. The two goats, and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He will take the two goats from the congregation and present them unto the Lord. And Aaron, when he presents them now, Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. One for the Lord and the other Lord for the scapegoat. That is, one of them is supposed to be a scapegoat. One of them is supposed to be the Lord's, to be sacrificed unto the Lord. One will be left to go with the sins into the wilderness. Free. They are all sacrificial goats. Now, but which of these two will be for God and which one will be the scapegoat? He will cast a lot. Lord, the one I will pick that is for you. Show me now as I pick it. And then he will take it and open it. Okay? You are the scapegoat. You are the one to go free. Praise God. Let me finish reading it. And Aaron shall cast lots, verse 8, upon the two goats. One lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. Sin offering. Offering for the sin of the people. But the goat on which the Lord fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive. They will not kill it. Before the Lord. To make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And we see that fulfilled on the cross of Calvary. Praise God. Two criminals, supposedly criminals, condemned. Barabbas and Jesus. It's the people that brought it home. Pilate brought them. As the custom is, one of the criminals must be released as the scapegoat. That is what the scapegoat was speaking of. I told you, the script has been written. They were only acting the script. But they are in types and shadows. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Barabbas was the scapegoat. He was released. And the offering for sin, Jesus Christ, was accepted by the Lord, hung on the cross, and was offered. He was fulfilling the law. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yet they didn't know what was happening. They screamed. Ah, but this man has not done anything. They said, crucify him. And Pilate said, my hand is not there. I wash my hand. He said, yes, let his blood be upon us. And when they were saying that, amen, they didn't even understand. It was not judgment they were passing upon themselves. Like we teach sometimes. Upon us and upon our children. Are we not pleading the blood of Jesus Christ today? Where was that blood released? Not on the cross. I plead the blood of Jesus upon my children. I plead the blood of Jesus upon my mother. I plead the blood of Jesus upon... It's the same thing they were saying. Let his blood be upon us. For what? For the remission of their sins. For the remission of their sins. It was not for punishment. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Came to fulfill the law. See the promise in Malachi chapter 3. Just few of them. There are too many. The last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. The first verse there is a prophecy. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. If you are hearing me make mention of this for the first time, let's read it carefully again. Behold, this is thus said the Lord. Remember, he did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. This is one of the prophecies. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who is that messenger? Say it if you know it. John the Baptist is the messenger that he sent. And he said, and the Lord whom you seek, that God of Israel that you have been worshipping, shall suddenly come to his temple. He is the messenger of the covenant that God has between himself and his people. John the Baptist is not the messenger of the covenant. Who is the messenger of the covenant? The Lord Jesus himself. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The covenant whom you delight in, behold, he shall come. That God will come, said the Lord of hosts. When was this prophecy fulfilled? It was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 3. Let's open it. It came to fulfill the law. Verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And remember before then, John the Baptist saw him and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the Lamb, making reference to the sacrificial lamb. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. How is this fulfilled? He said, behold, I send my messenger before you, will prepare a way for me. John the Baptist was there preaching, preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. And Jesus Christ has declared to the whole world that he is now God's dwelling place. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. So who is Jesus? Jesus is God's dwelling place. Hallelujah. Jesus is God's dwelling place. That is the reason why the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, where the glory of God was kept, that no man had access to, but separated with a veil. On the day he gave up the ghost, glory be to God, that glory left. Hallelujah. Unknown to them, he's no more there. Where he has chosen to place his name, that is the only place that he has chosen as his place of worship. And the Father made a body for himself and became his temple. Therefore, he placed his name in his Son. And the Lord whom you seek, while his messenger was there, John the Baptist preaching fulfillment of that prophecy, the God whom you seek suddenly came to his temple and announced, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. From that day, Jesus Christ became the temple of the Holy Ghost, his dwelling place. He came to fulfill the law. That is exactly what happened, as we see in that verse, in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You will always hear him speak that the scripture might be fulfilled. Because a script has already been written and it must be acted out. Hallelujah. Jesus came to fulfill scriptures. He was predestinated to do what he was doing. Just like Jesus, many more people are also predestinated to participate with Jesus to fulfill all these scriptures. Judas is one of them. Those Jews at that time, Caiaphas and the high priest, there were some of them that he, God, had predestined. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.